Chapter 3, Income Streams 1 through 4.
All right, Carrie, so these first four streams of income are, I've heard you say, like, if you don't have all four of these, that's your priority. Don't worry about the other streams. Don't worry about anything else beyond this. Focus on getting these four. These should be a given for every author who's looking to build a business around the book.
Yeah, and the reason why is because it's the low-hanging fruit. I mean, some people might say, well, gee, I want to build a mastermind, which is one of the streams of income. That takes time. That takes energy. That's a big price point. But if you don't even have an ebook, or you don't even have an audiobook, that's the low-hanging fruit. That's where you're leaving a lot of money on the table. For example, Mike, when I asked you about your book, you know, you came on board and I thought, I want to get to know this guy. So what did I do? I bought your audiobook. And in a matter of 5 hours, I was able to get your passion, your legacy, your book. Tell us the name of it.
Yeah, it's Thrown Off Script, Turn Interruptions into Opportunities and Thrive in the Unexpected. And you mentioned that you do almost exclusively audiobooks. And so you're driving to projects and stuff, you're listening to these things.
When I work out, when I travel, when I commute, I'm always listening to audiobooks. And so to me, I don't know if you felt this, Mike, I certainly did. When I was traditionally published, book one, book two, book three, like they didn't do audiobooks. And as a result, people would say, is your book on audio? And I'm like, no. And then I knew, I knew they weren't going to ever read it, you know. And the traditional publisher, that's an unfortunate thing, but sometimes they don't build that into your contract, or they want to wait 6 months before they invest money to see if your book is going to do well before they invest in the audiobook. Not all the time, but my point is this, like, part of the beauty of Author Academy Elite, which is our publishing company, we have a more higher end called Igniting Souls Publishing Agency, but we always, always give our authors the audiobook opportunity because it's actually one of the fastest growing publishing platforms. You can't read a book and drive at the same time, but you can listen to an audiobook and drive at the same time. And so you can do cognitive activity and non-cognitive activity at the same time. So audiobooks just make sense. It's an experience. So yeah, I would say if authors are like, well, gee, I only have paperback, we're going to start going through these income streams here one at a time.
And let's do it. Yeah. Well, stream number one is that soft cover, is that paperback. This is the bread and butter, right? This is when you think of, I published a book, here it is, the soft cover book. We don't want to skip over that one.
It is. It's the easiest. In fact, most people don't realize this, but it's the most economical in terms of physical version. A lot of publishers out there will not even publish a book in hardcover. And so you can make major markup profit in our publishing world. Again, I'm going to, throughout the book, I'm going to mention literal examples from ISPA, we call it, Igniting Souls Publishing Agency.
Yeah.
But when you get bulk paperback copies, you can get these things down to like $2 or less. And so when you think about it, a paperback can be retail at 15. And if you are the author and you buy in bulk, you could get these things down to less than $2. And so you're making a $13 profit. The profit margin is very high. And all I'm saying is that soft covers, you need to leverage it. In fact, if your book is only an ebook, you're missing out. Because check this out, Mike. Never have you heard on stage a speaker say, thanks for having me today, folks. I'll be in the back signing your ebook.
Nope, doesn't happen.
All right. They're not going to sign your mobile phone or your iPad. So I'm not against ebooks at all. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But if your book's only in an ebook, some people will even say you're not a real author. Now, I know that's harsh and it's not true, but the perception is that you need a physical book to be an author. So yes, I'm really going to push that for those reasons of autographing, for the reasons of a physical product. You need to do a soft cover.
It increases your perceived value as an author, which, yes. Hey, let's take that another step up and talk about hardcovers.
Hardcovers are fantastic. Hardcovers basically are the proof that you've arrived. Now, I can say that because my first five books were not hardcover. I was traditionally published, and the traditional publisher said, we're not doing a hardcover. Usually, traditional publishers don't do hardcovers until you break a major number because it's more costly.
Sure, they don't want to sink all that expense into it.
Yes. And most people say, I'll just get the paperback version if I can save 10 bucks. But here's why you want hardcover. Influencer copies. There's nothing that speaks like value when you send, I call it a dust jacket. You know, that's where you have the flaps.
Yeah.
And not only a dust jacket, we don't want the interior to be cloth where you take the dust jacket off and it looks just like a solid color. These days, and you know, with Unhackable, I did this. In fact, it was only available with Unhackable. Elixir Project didn't even have it back then. But now you can have what's called a case laminate, which is the hardcover, and it's like the cover stamped on it. Mm-hmm. And now you can do a case laminate dust jacket. So you get like the best of both worlds. You have the dust jacket, which I'm going to encourage people, the back right of your dust jacket should have a nice photo of you. That's where you put the author content, your bio on the back flap. Check this out. It's a little bit confusing, but hang with me. The front flap of your dust jacket on a hardcover typically has the information that's on the back cover of your paperback. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the blurb. And then usually the back cover of a dust jacket will have endorsements. Okay. So that's kind of the thought. But then I've left influencer copies and I've mailed them just yesterday with a client. I get on the phone with a client named Dave, and Dave holds up my hardcover and he's like, thank you for sending this.
Nice.
It basically communicates value. People hold that thing and they realize that retails at 30 bucks. Now, with our publishing company, we can get those things down to $3. So you don't have to like give up the farm to buy hardcovers as an author. But if you do buy single copies as an author, they're going to cost you like 15, 17 bucks. Mm-hmm. So that's why you kind of want to think through it and say, should I buy just a case? And I'm fine with that. If you say, man, I got 20 influencers, I'm going to buy one case and I'm going to treat these like gold and I'm going to put a letter in it and a special mailer. I encourage people like pick a mailer that pops with color. You know, with our box, remember the Unhackable? We put Unhackable influencer box, which is a custom box. And you can bet I'm not going to put a paperback in there. You open it up. There's a t-shirt, there's a hardcover case laminate, there's a note, there's a Starbucks gift card that says, hey, enjoy Starbucks while you read this book. Those things, I send them out and I've gotten major deals, major speaking event, because people realize this packaging, this guy must be serious about quality. So yeah, hardcovers are meant to impress.
And continuing to up your perceived value as an author with not a whole lot of cost to you, but it does improves how people view you, your book, your message, and a really flashy stream of income there in the hardcover books. We talked about the next two streams briefly. I want to talk a little bit more about them. First of all, ebooks. This is the biggest perk about ebooks is that it's portable, right? People have an ebook reader on them basically at all times at this point.
Yes. I tell people all the time, you're rarely within 5 feet of a book throughout the day. but you're almost never not within 5 feet of your smartphone. So this means that you have an ebook reader within 5 feet of you all day, every day. I mean, most people. The other thing is that the royalties are huge. You got to remember, as a traditionally published author, you're lucky to get 15%. I mean, that's high if you get 15%. Now, our publishing model is different. We're kind of a unique model where we don't take any royalties from our authors. But Amazon will, you know, all these other companies will.
Oh, yeah.
And so with an ebook, you're making usually 70% profit, which is awesome because they realize that it doesn't cost a ton to produce.
Yeah, really no overhead there.
But it's still secure. The ebook is not able to be passed around unless you do, you know, some Kindle tricks. But you have that secure and safe, and you're able to get royalties. So yeah, ebooks make a ton of sense.
And also in line with this very portable, very accessible version of your book, the audiobook, which we led into this chapter talking about, basically the more versions you provide of your book, the more readers you have. There will be some readers who only read softcover books, maybe only listen to audiobooks. So we need to talk about audiobooks because there's a lot of people who don't have the time to sit and read a good book, even though they may want to.
Audiobooks make a ton of sense for all the reasons that we shared. You and I do a different type of audiobook. I mean, there are people who love the conversation you and I did with Show Up Filled Up.
Yeah, just like this.
They said, I'm getting the physical book and I'm getting the audiobook because I know in the audiobook there's different things that are shared because it is raw, it is fresh, this type of thing. Now I've had audiobooks where I literally read word for word the book, and that's what a lot of people are used to. Certainly with a fiction book, you can't have a conversation. But the beauty of a nonfiction audiobook is that you're starting to see people be more innovative. David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. He would have his book, but at the end of each chapter, they would do an interview. So you got like the book, but then you got the author doing an interview. Mm. And you're starting to see these things happen more and more. Even you did with your audiobook, you put in special extra sound things.
Yeah, it was just the platform that you have in an audiobook allows you to insert things that you can't have in a normal book, whether it, you know, some extra sound effects and ambiance or audio clips from something that you just had a transcript for. I know we were talking to a client of yours who wanted to use a transcript from a coaching call, and he got to actually use that actual audio from that coaching call from years ago in his audiobook, just as a bonus. Like he's like, I just want people to be able to see this happen in basically real life.
Absolutely. Jeff Kramer, check out his book. He's one of our clients and authors, but he did. He found a coaching call from 2000 and I don't know,
12 or 2014, a long time ago.
So almost, you know, 10 plus years ago. And rather than say, hey, let me tell you about the coaching call, he said, can I actually put it on, Carrie? And I listened to it. I was like, whoa, man, that was me coaching 10 years ago. Wow. At some points I was like, ooh, that was good. And at some points I'm like, ooh, I can't believe I said that.
A lot of growth has happened over the years, I'm sure.
but even one of my books, where I use JFK, I made sure that it was approved, or what do you call it? You know what I'm talking
public
about?
Public domain.
Public domain. But I actually put JFK in my audiobook. So when I say JFK at Rice Stadium said the man on the moon, boom, on cue, we put that in the audiobook. You know, my fiction book, Elixir Project, I think it had 26 different voices, meaning it was Heather Masters. She's a award-winning narrator. But she became 26 different people in the audiobook. And it felt so surreal. It was like I was listening to a movie. And that's what people want. People want an audiobook experience. Mike, let's talk about this really quick with audiobooks before we move on. How important is it to read it if you're the author? I would say, even if you hate your voice, nonfiction books, I would seriously ask you to consider reading it, because the other income streams, you're going to be their coach. You're going to be their consultant. You're going to be their mastermind leader. And people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And I love what someone once said, where else can you whisper in someone's ear for 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 hours?
Yes, and not be creepy.
Yes, but with an audiobook, you can. And what people end up saying is, I like this guy. I like this woman. I want to listen. You know, I want to do business with them. So when you ask someone else to narrate your book, I'm not saying it's the end of the world. I've actually had other people narrate different books of mine. But as I've grown, I've said, you know what, I want to be that person. So I encourage people, you'll save money. It'll sound more authentic, but consider it if you have a nonfiction book.
Yeah, like we talked about in chapter one, your book is a relationship, right? And so if you are trying to have a transformative relationship with your reader, with your content, then you being the one teaching them, being the one encouraging them through the audiobook is huge, as opposed to having, it's like asking someone, hey, I want to get to know that person. Can you go talk to them for me and let them know how they respond? That's not as transformative as just going up to the person and having that conversation one-on-one.
It's fantastic.
So you'd say for a fiction book, you'd recommend hiring an actor who's been trained to be able to tell the story vocally, maybe having different characters. But for nonfiction, you'd recommend, you know what, why don't you do it yourself? Get over your insecurities of how you sound and just be genuine with your reader.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, fantastic. Those are income streams 1 through 4. Again, these are the low-hanging fruit, Carrie says. If you don't have these, the soft cover, hardcover, ebook, and audiobook, start there. We're going to go on and keep talking about the other streams of income that can come from your book and see what other opportunities those can open up.